Good morning. Psalm 118, if you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for your Son dying for us and paying for our sins. And by putting our faith and trust in what he did, we have eternal life with thee, and that was promised to us before the world began. And Father, we thank you so much for all our spiritual blessings that are in Christ. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to heal these people according to thy will and let them look to thee for guidance and understanding in the things they're faced with. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us by your Spirit to build us up in the faith and let us be attentive to your word and believe you mean what you say. These things we pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in Psalms 118, one verse, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I suspect there's a lot of people this morning that don't know what to rejoice in, you know. This dispensation that we have, we ought to thank the Lord every single day when you open your eyes and got enough ability to speak, whether it's clear or jumbled up like I do or what, that you ought to praise the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 15 with me. Go to Romans chapter 15. Well, this is a day, and I know yesterday was a day. Tomorrow is a day. What day is it? It's the day the Lord made. Rejoice in it. You don't have to rejoice on what is so-called the Sabbath day, which today people call the Sabbath day, which ain't the Sabbath day, which is the first day of the week according to our calendar. Yesterday was the Sabbath day. Where were y'all at yesterday? I was up here waiting on the class to come, so I've been here since yesterday. You see, I won't do no work on the Sabbath day. And I just lied. I don't care what day it is. If I got a job to do, it's going to get done if I'm able to do it. I might work on my wife's van this evening. I got to change oil in it, and if it's supposed to be rain tomorrow, so I'd rather do it today when it's dry. And I imagine some of my holy, holy neighbors may see that rascal over there teaches Bible study class, and look out there, he's over there working on the Sabbath day over there. No, just another day that the Lord made, and I will rejoice in it regardless of what I'm doing. If I'm fishing, hunting, or working, I'm going to rejoice in it. In Romans chapter 15, start with me in verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Well, in Jesus Christ's case, what was the truth of God? Or let's just say, here's John the Baptist. He's 6 months older than Jesus Christ. He's preparing the way for the Lord. Well, here's the Lord. He's finally born in late December, would you say? Yep, y'all going to agree with that?
No.
I believe the thing that Satan is hiding about Jesus Christ is the conception. A virgin. You know what your new Bible says in Isaiah? A young maiden. Well, beloved, a young maiden giving birth all the time, but not a virgin. You understand? A virgin shall be with child. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And in Matthew, his name is called Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Well, beloved, if we find out who the us is, we know that Paul, when he wrote Romans chapter 15, verse 8, said that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's a reference to the Jews, his own people. To do what? For the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are things that were prophesied in the Old Testament back here, and you can find that in Luke chapter 24. After he was crucified, he was resurrected, and he spent 40 days and 40 nights with 12 apostles, training them to carry on a ministry after he's going back to God the Father. He told them, "I'm going back to where I came from, and you can't go right now, but I'll come again over here." And he's talking about a reference to the second coming. He ain't told them nothing about Romans to Philemon in there this day here. Romans to Philemon is a day. Now, I don't care if you call it 2,000 years or whatever. I know this is a day the Lord made. Well, in this making of this day here, Jesus Christ appeared to Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9 and gave him a ministry to some people that were allied with Israel. They were in the covenants of promise. In Acts 18, the Lord appeared to Paul in the temple and gave him a message for people such as us, that now this day here is called the dispensation of the grace of God. It has to do with the gospel of Christ, and it has to do with a mystery of that gospel, that you can be saved apart from blessing Israel. The Haggis of the world don't believe that.
Amen.
You know what the Haggis of the world preach? You got to bless them Jews to get blessed. Do y'all know what Ephesians 1 verse 3 says? Look at it. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Whole Romans, we're going to go back there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. What does he say? Are we blessed with all spiritual blessings?
Yes.
Let's read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings on this earth, and he'll have you to have good health and be rich. That's Joel Osteen's thing, beloved. That's all Joel Osteen ever preaches on, is telling you. That's what you asked me the question about, tickling their ears. When I said that all of y'all were sorry, y'all kind of grinned and laughed about it, but deep down in your heart, y'all don't really believe you're sorry, do you? Do y'all really believe y'all are sorry as I am? Now, I'm pretty sorry if you agree with that. I'm pretty sorry.
Worse.
Y'all sorry as I am?
Worse.
Yeah, you know, Paul said he was chief of sinners, but he didn't know me. And I remember what Brother Moore used to say. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. I was born a sinner, and I'll die a sinner. But I'll die a saved sinner, you understand? Now, watch what he says here. Go back to Romans 15. Verse 8. Now I say, and you remember now when you see that verse there, you remember what Paul told you in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding and all things. Well, he just told us that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. What is the truth of God to the circumcision? He's going to send John the Baptist. Prepare the way for the Lord. You that believe on that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the King of Israel. Do y'all know that Israel does not have a king today? Well, y'all want to show me where he's at? Where's Israel's king? He's gone as on exile. He went back to where God the Father is. He ain't here today. Let me show you something. Go to Hosea. You have Daniel and Hosea. Now go to Hosea chapter 5. In Hosea chapter 5. And beloved, this will match John chapter 14. If you care about who John 14 is written to, it ain't written to the church of the body of Christ. Now, in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense, seek my face. In their affliction, they shall seek me early. In other words, over here, after the rapture of the church has gone out, we're resurrected, or if you happen to be alive when this takes place, your vowed body will be changed, then God will deal with Israel in the tribulation over here, and there's 7 years of this tribulation over here, and in this time, Israel will return to the Lord. He will come down as their high priest, according to the book of Hebrews. You understand? That's what the book of Hebrews is about. Their high priest. Now, go back to Romans chapter 15. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now watch what he says. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Well, it's written down somewhere, ain't it? Didn't Paul say, as it is written? Watch what he says. For this cause, I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, sing unto thy name. And again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Now listen, I know in A.D. 70, Israel, in the book of Acts 28, became cast away, according to Romans chapter 11. Israel stumbled at the stumbling stone, and in the book of Acts, they are being diminished throughout the book of Acts. And I'll say right here, is A.D. 70, when Titus and the Roman army destroyed Jerusalem, plowed it under, burned to the ground, Israel is not God's people today, and that's the fulfillment of Hosea chapter 1. Hosea's told to take a wife, and she's to have some children. One of them's name is Loamni, which is being interpreted, not my people. Well, beloved, if the time in here of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 is not that time, show me in the 1611 King James Bible when it's going to be, please. You can't take me over into the book of Hebrews through Revelation, because that's a time of Jacob's trouble. God's dealing with Israel to get them to return to the Lord. He divorced them back here because they broke his covenant, but he's going to remarry them over here. That's why they get white robes over here. White robes is the cleanliness of a bride. You understand?
Amen.
Or don't you?
That's good.
We don't get white robes. Those that go in, I hope you understand what I'm trying to do here. Those that go into the tribulation have got to die to get to the second coming. And when they die, they are given white robes. And they are told to rest a little season till their fellow servants. And the servants you find in Revelation chapter 7, 12,000 from each tribe. Tribe of Judah. So Jesus Christ back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's a minister to Israel, the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Is that what the verse said?
Yes.
Now wait a minute. Didn't I leave some of them out of there? For the truth of God. You see, you can't leave nothing out. If you leave phrases out of a verse, you change what the verse means. The same as when Paul wrote to these Ephesians, people such as us, in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, you were not allied with Israel. You had what?
No hope.
What if Paul had left that no hope out of there?
It really would have been.
We'd have had a hope, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beloved, we had no hope. We got more to rejoice about in the dispensation that we're in than anybody from Genesis through Revelation over there.
Amen.
Even these right here that Paul said in Romans 15, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. We got to go get a Jew to rejoice in the Lord?
No.
Go to Philippians chapter 1. I apologize. Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. What day is this? What day it is. This is the day of salvation. Not just Sunday morning, October the 12th, but if we're still here, October the 13th, Monday morning. You understand? From the salvation of the Apostle Paul until the rapture of the church, this is the day that God would have men to be saved. Now I got a question. If all Gentiles that Paul wrote to are the same, and like some of our grace preachers are trying to prove today, which they're stumbling, but the only way they get in the way with it is because people sit in the class and let them do it. You see, that's why I don't fellowship with some of them. I can't sit there and listen to that. I'd be a heretic. You understand? If all Gentiles that Paul wrote to were the Gentiles that Paul wrote to that had no hope, show them to me. If Israel is on the scene all the way through Paul's 13 epistles, show me where the Gentiles that he wrote to, that he told them about in Acts chapter 28, I'm going to go to the Gentiles and they will hear it. Where are they at? When are you going to find them? Us. It's us. But wait a minute. They say we're Abraham's seed if we're in Christ. And heirs according to the promise. When Paul said, you bunch of people had no hope, you were not in the covenants of promise, you were without God in the world. Did God leave you without Him when He told us back then, Psalms 118:24, this is the day the Lord made? Did God make this time right here for us?
Yes.
He sure did. He didn't make it for those that blessed the seed of Abraham. That time's gone. You know what? You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
He made that day here for us, right here, that had no hope. But now, Ephesians 1:13. We who had no hope, according to chapter 2, verse 13, now have a hope where? In Christ Jesus. One of our spiritual blessings, if you please. You know where your spiritual blessings are at?
In Christ.
It ain't cause you drive a fancy vehicle and live in a three-story house with gold floors and all that. That ain't your blessings. Satan can give you that stuff. You don't believe it, look around. Me and my wife got fascinated with old, and that man, I can see the little devil, and he ought to have Jesse the Planners. We was watching Jesse the other day, and he was talking to his wife, and this preacher needed some money, and he asked him, he said, how much is your budget? And I think it was for the week. Was it for the week?
It was for the month, I guess.
Well, anyway, he said, what's his wife's name, Gloria? I believe it was, I'm not sure what his wife's name, but we'll call her Gloria anyhow. He said, you got a check on you? Yeah, I said, I always got a check. He said, write this man a check for $28,000 he needs to run this business this week, this church.
Said God had just told him to do that.
Did what?
Said God had just told him to do that.
Yeah, he said God told him to just write him a check for $28,000. He said before, and I don't remember the time span in this, he said before the week, I think, was out, he got five times that much back, and they fanning the camera in the audience. I said, yeah, that's your welfare check, and yours there. And I said, you ought to keep your mouth shut. And people may figure out, hey, you know, that's my money he's talking about.
Percy, I heard that guy live one time in Sierra Leone.
And he was preaching that he'd been to heaven and picked fruit off the tree and saw the Lord and the saints.
Did you hear him do that?
I heard him do that.
Man Russell wanted to get that.
And then he hit me so hard in the head it left a bruise.
Yeah.
And I had to fall back. I'm not kidding. I'm telling the truth.
But me and Russell wanted to buy that tape that he had, but we didn't want to support him, so we never did get. But he was talking about in that same context, I expect at the same time, that he was up there and the flowers were there and he didn't want to step on the flower. And the Lord said, no, it won't hurt him. He just walked right through the flowers.
Oh,
and he said, you know, old Paul's sitting up there still saying my gospel. Beloved, if it hadn't been for Paul's gospel, me and you had no hope.
Amen.
We were without God. Praise God. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren. Listen to what Paul says. Finally, brethren, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Can't we rejoice in the Lord? You know, Arliss Langan, a lot of y'all know Arliss Langan, Brother Roy Langan, she was a good example of rejoicing in the Lord. It wouldn't make the difference if the roof fell in, she said. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't do that. I'd have cussed that thing out. Lean on it. I'm not that way. I thank God that I live by His faith.
Amen.
Not mine. But you see, it ain't my faith that counts. And I know what Hebrews 11 verse 6 says. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Do you believe God is? I watched and I didn't stay there very long this morning. I watched a dude on TV, and his theme is God alive? Is God alive? Now listen, you've heard me quote, I didn't quote the verse, but you heard me give you the passage, Matthew chapter 2. Here he is, Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us, the Jews. Paul said, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Back here in the Old Testament, starting back in Genesis, God said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and your seed, talking to Satan and the woman. And then he tells them what they're going to do. So you know what Satan did? Y'all know what Satan did? He killed the seed. You know who killed Abel?
Cain.
Your Bible tells you that Cain is of that wicked one. I know a man lives in this city that tried to tell me that Cain was born of Eve after conception with Satan. Because the Bible says Cain is of that wicked one. You know what Cain was? He was following a religious system that did not believe in a blood sacrifice. And today, we got churches today that are using Bibles that have took the blood out of it.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you know what the verse says? In whom we have redemption through His blood. Whose blood?
Christ.
Acts 20:28. God's own blood was shed at Calvary for my sins. You understand? And God accepted that in Ephesians chapter 5. He accepted that sacrifice so I don't have to bring a sacrifice nowhere. You understand? That he told these people here who first trusted in Christ, in Corinthians, he said, Christ, our sacrifice, is offered for us. Who is the sacrifice for these people who first trusted in Christ? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who's the sacrifice for us? Jesus Christ. According to the mystery of that gospel. I can't go back in the Old Testament or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and show you your salvation by the scriptures. This is something Paul said in Ephesians 3 verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, not dispensation of grace now, but the grace to go to people such as us. And in Acts chapter 20, he said, I declared to these people all things that he had. He hasn't declared anything about us yet in Acts 20. I challenge you to show me. I challenge you to show me where Paul, when he said to the Ephesians that were not in the covenants of promise, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Nigh to what? What are we made nigh to? We're made nigh to God by the death of Jesus Christ. According to Colossians chapter 1, he made peace through the blood of his cross. How did he make peace for me? For teaching me how to live in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? How to follow his steps? I didn't. He's not my example. Paul's my example.
Right.
Paul. The old Saul, low down snake in the grass like me and you. Saul of Tarsus. A rebel. Wrote 13 books. 7 books to those who first trusted in Christ that were in the covenants of promise. 6 books, what'd I say, 7?
Yes, 6
books that he wrote. 7 books he wrote to people such as us and what they so called the pastoral epistle, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and to people over here that had no hope. That, according to Colossians chapter 1, fulfilled the Word of God. Now listen, you can do what you want to with this. You study it out and think it out for yourself. When Paul said he fulfilled the Word of God, don't you think Hebrews through Revelation must already been written?
Right.
How would Paul say he filled up the Word of God if it wasn't already there? You figure it out for yourself. That's what I believe. You understand? I believe that Paul said he fulfilled the Word of God. And the word fulfilled means to fill up. He completed the Word of God. We got a complete book right here. No more need for prophesy. These people had prophets back here. They had people that could discern between tongues. They could interpret tongues. Paul told them, don't forbid not to speak with tongues. And the people that say all Gentiles are the same, they don't speak with tongues today. Now, most of them keep the Lord's Supper. And that's all they pick out of there.
Right.
You know why? They want to be like everybody else. Well, that church down there on the corner, they do. And Church of Christ do it every single Sunday.
Mm.
Every single Sunday, you understand? We had a man across the road from us. I stood out there, and my yard, he was bald-headed. I stood out there on the trunk of my car one day for about 2 hours trying to show him the truth. Never could see it. Church of Christ, Acts 2. Got to repent and be baptized. The only thing I'd done for him is his old head got burnt. I mean, it was red when he left her. I'm mad his Bo Heine was red too, fooling with me. That man had a stroke, didn't know he was in the world. Every Sunday, you listen to me, every Sunday somebody from that church would bring him that cracker and that hooch, grape juice or whatever it was, and he had to take communion every Sunday to have Christ in him.
Mm.
You know what the blessed mystery of the gospel is? You got any idea why we should rejoice more than anybody in the world? Even more so than these right here that he told in Romans 15, rejoice you Gentiles with my people?
Grace.
Grace. You know what grace is?
Free gift.
Unmerited favor. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were sinners.
Yeah.
Thank you. We were dead in sin. We had no way to get to God until Paul preached the mystery of it. Go to Colossians. Hold Philippians chapter 3. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 20. You know, I do get excited about this.
Amen.
It's something to be excitable about.
Because
I know when I go home, I ain't no telling what I love to do. I love to set the house on fire. I don't know. You know, I think somebody said before class, you preach grace, you teach people to live in sin. No, y'all live in sin, whether you come to class or not, don't you? I'm sorry. I remember years ago, and I'm not going to call no names because this thing's being recorded over here. But years ago, I heard Brother Moore preach a class in the state of Louisiana. That's as close as I'm going to get to you about who it was. And he's preaching from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. None good, no, not one. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. There ain't a person on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Nobody, none of us. The only man that's ever walked the face of this earth that did not commit any kind of sin was Jesus Christ, that man right there. You know why? He had the Spirit of God in him. He didn't have Adam's blood in him. He had God's blood in him. Now, Brother Moore got through. The preacher in this church got up. Now, I was there. This ain't hearsay. I heard it with back then I could hear good. Now you might say something, I might get mixed up what you said, but back then I could still hear pretty good. That preacher in that church got up and said, I want you, my people that come to my church, to know that I believe there's some of y'all that's good. Wow. I preached one year at a picnic for a grace church around him. And I preached about how all our sins are paid for. You ain't got to do nothing but believe that Jesus Christ died for you and paid for all your sins. The preacher's son got up and said, I don't believe what Mr. Peter said.
Mm.
I mean, hey, wait a minute. God heard him. God heard him. As sorry and low down as the sorriest one of us in this room is, God died for you in his son. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Has God made peace with somebody?
Yeah.
Well, has he made peace with Israel yet? Y'all remember what we read back in Hosea chapter 5?
Right. No.
Verse 15?
No, he hadn't did it.
Huh? Do you remember?
Not
we
yet.
Read something like that.
Not yet.
Yeah, we will return to the Lord when? In the tribulation. God ain't dealing with Israel today. And it's hard to get people to turn loose of Israel. And I heard this preacher yesterday saying that when Israel became a nation in 1948, and I just, goodbye, dude. Don't listen to you no more. You're lying. I don't need to hear no lies. Got enough of my own. Watch what he says. Verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile some things unto himself.
Oh,
thank you. All things. Did God reconcile everybody unto himself?
Yes.
Did he say he committed unto us the word of reconciliation? What is the word of reconciliation? That God was in Christ. How was God in Christ? A spirit. God's a spirit. Jesus Christ said in John 6:63, these words that I speak unto you, this whole Bible ought to be in red letter, not just a few pieces of it. It's God's word. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 20 again, having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that sometime alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. And now whose death is that? It's his death. Because he's already told me in Timothy that he abolished death for me. Now I may have to go to sleep, but I can't die. I've already died at Calvary with him. Now, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death presents you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If, hold a fort.
If he continues.
Now, is there something you got to do to be saved?
Believe.
Is there something that Paul is saying right here, there's something you got to do to be saved?
Believe.
No. You're saved by the death of his son at Calvary, by faith in his blood.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, now watch what he says here, though. Verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death, comma, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Can you depart from that?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. But can you lose your salvation if you do?
No.
No, you lose your reward, and at the judgment seat, Jesus Christ can't present you. We'll just say that's the throne room of God, and here's the altar that you're going to put all your work on. There's a fire right there. If you don't continue in the faith, you won't be presented unblameable. Why? Because you departed from the faith. You gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and you're out preaching that all the Gentiles that Paul wrote to are the same. All that's going to smoke.
Amen.
Going to burn up. So God can't present you holy and unblameable. That's why the word if is in there. That's a big old word. If. If. So what do you need to do? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That ain't dividing Romans to Philemon necessarily from Genesis through Hebrew, Revelation. That is dividing Paul's gospel. The gospel has to be rightly divided. And if you don't rightly divide the gospel, you're going to be like everybody else in the world. You may get to the judgment seat, but you're going to have some big old crying and crocodile tears coming out your eyes when all that work goes on that fire there and all you got's a pile of little ashes. Y'all got any idea how many ounces of ashes this body can make when they cremate it? You can put it in a plain jar. Take a big old 8-foot, 350-pound ball player, cremate him. Maybe you might get a pint of ashes out of him. We ain't much old.
Mm-hmm.
And beloved, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you ain't nothing.
That's right.
You ain't nothing. And you know what God's going to do? God's going to give you a body. God's going to give you a body that can stand the fires of hell for eternity. Why would you walk around not saved when all you got to do is believe? You ain't got to stop. You ain't got to. Well, you know, if I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for me, I can't eat that pork chop. Boy, you put one in front of me. And you show me what I'll do with it. And I love to gnaw a pork chop bone. My mom, we used to eat a whole lot of chicken when I was little. Daddy raised them, and we didn't have much money back during the late years of the Depression when I was born. We ate chicken a lot. My mama's favorite piece of chicken, I can see her today, is the neck. My mama, when she got through with that neck, all you had with some little old bitty bones. Have y'all ever tried to eat a chicken neck?
Yeah.
My bones. And more than ain't enough of meat on it to fight over. But we had certain parts of the chicken that we knew Mama ate, and then we knew the parts that my daddy ate, and we didn't touch neither one of them. Mama always had us something to eat, but we didn't touch the parts they wanted, because that was forbidden. Nowadays, the kids get the best part, and the mom and dad get what's left over, and that's what we've earned our children, through Satan destroying the family. And that's why Paul told the preacher man, if you don't know how to take care of your house, how are you going to take care of the church of God? Can't do it. Can't do it. You are the authority, what Paul is telling the preacher. And what is the preacher to do? He's responsible for the mysteries of God. And he's to be found faithful. Faithful. We got a lot of people that are departing from the faith. And when you try to talk to them, they don't even want to read their Bible. I know a man that shoved his Bible to a phenomenal preacher in this country. And he told him, he said, read the verse. That verse was Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. The preacher man kept saying, it says because they're not saved. Ain't nowhere in that verse it says that they are allied with Israel or not allied with Israel because of salvation. It said they were not aliens allied with Israel. Why? Because they were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Man pushed it by the Lord, that fellow pushed it back, said, I don't need to read it, I know what it says. Do you know what your Bible says? Didn't Paul say, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord? We got more to rejoice, as I said before, we got more to rejoice than anybody in the King James Bible ever thought about having. We ought to praise God every minute we got breath.
Amen.
In Psalms 150, turn there, let me show you something. Psalms 150. Last Psalm, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Where did the Church of Christ ever get that you couldn't have music in their churches? Do y'all know, I don't know if they do it now, but y'all know years ago when they built the Church of Christ building, they would not build a door that was wide enough to get an organ or a piano through? Ain't that silly?
Yeah.
Ain't that silly? That's pitiful. Man's doctrine. And people follow man's doctrine to the letter, and they just snuff at God's word. Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the palace and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Boy, the Pentecostals do, don't they?
Yeah.
Ooh, they fill their platform with music instruments. Verse 5, praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Should we praise the Lord?
Amen.
Well, sure that we should. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. And I don't believe Paul's talking about rock wallows or nothing like that. I think he's talking about two-legged Gentile dogs that are teaching another gospel. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Well, ain't that something? Having no confidence in the flesh. Don't y'all put no confidence in me, because I'm sorry. I am. I'm sorry. When you look at me, you're looking at a low-down, sorry bunch of flesh that's going back to the dirt someday. And if God don't change my vile body, I'm going to spend eternity in hell. But I have something that all of us ought to have. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Every one of us ought to have this attitude. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, well, it's going to be someday, one way or another. You can bank on that. You can mark it down. It may have been 1,000 years since Jesus Christ died, or 2,000, or 5,000, or 1,000,000 years, but someday it's going to change. It's going to take a change. God promised it to us. Verse 1, for we know that the earthly house of tabernacle is why we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Y'all know what earnest is, don't you?
Yeah.
It's a guarantee that's going to happen someday. You understand? You may be in a generation that don't have to go to sleep. Like 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now watch what he says. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident. Now are we? Do you get up every morning knowing if that's the day you're going to take your last breath or your last heartbeat, you have a confidence? Do you? I'm wondering if we do. You know, Lord, I'm ain't feeling too good here this morning, Lord. Yeah. Put your hands on me and heal me here. And I think about Hezekiah. Well, Hezekiah was told to get his house in order. You're going to die here today, Hezekiah. Hezekiah went and cried to God, moaning that, God, you know, I've been faithful to you all these years and I've helped you in all this stuff. Prophet told to go tell him, say, I'm going to add to you 15 years. Nebuchadnezzar come, took him captive, poked his eyeballs out and put him in chains. Don't you reckon Hezekiah would have been better off? Say, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I'm coming to meet you today. I watched a movie of Charles Bronson, one of them Death Wish movies. He goes down in this basement. He's killing all these dopers and all these people, and this dude down there, he's got a cross around his neck. Charles Brunson said, you know what you know about the Lord? You know, something to that effect, or Jesus or something. He said, well, I know him. He said, well, you're going to go meet him today. And boom, shot him. And do you have the confidence that somebody walked up to you and pulled the trigger on you that if you died, you'd be with the Lord? That's what Paul's talking about here, blood. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Why? If my earthly body will dissolve, I got a promise. And I got the Holy Spirit as guaranteed. And if you ain't got the Holy Spirit, you ain't got no guarantee. You understand? Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. That ain't hard to figure out. I'm standing here in this body, and as long as I'm here in this body, in this tabernacle, I'm absent from the Lord. You understand? That's why confusion in the next couple of verses. Look at it, what he says here. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, there ain't nothing hard about that, is it? Because in other words, Paul tells me what I see ain't what I'm going to get. I'm not going to get this body. This is going back to dirt. God's got me a heavenly body that's able to do anything he wants me to do. Go right through that wall there. Go right through all them books and you won't even know where I went. Verse 8. Don't let it confuse you. We, in verse 8, are confident. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body so we can be immediately present with the Lord. Now think about it. We have a confidence knowing that while we're in this body, we're absent from the Lord. In other words, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Well, you can't do that. I got a promise on it. God said he'll do it for me. If the spirit of him, Romans 8, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ up will what? Quicken our mortal bodies by that spirit that dwelleth in us. We have the earnest, the spirit. If our body here goes down, God's going to raise it up in the rapture. We shall all go together. Those that sleep in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I have a confidence that if I'm absent from this body, I'll be present with the Lord. You understand? Well, that's exactly what he's saying here. Watch it. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now that'll go back. I'm already accepted in the beloved. You understand that? I can't lose that. But that'll go back to Colossians if you continue in the faith. You understand? There's something you got to do after salvation, not to maintain your salvation. Your salvation is secure. You can't lose it. It's a settled, done deal. But your rewards at the judgment seat are by what you do, whether it be good or bad. Do you mean saved people can do bad? They sure can. Follow me around, see. Follow me around. Now, I don't suggest you do that, because I may. Brother Har, y'all remember Brother Har?
Yeah.
I used to go pick them up. They lived on Lafayette Street right by Dolphin. I'd go pick them up, and it'd be 6, 7 o'clock at night almost. That red light, Houston. It ain't nothing coming nowhere. They ain't a vehicle. You can look down this way, you can look down. There ain't nowhere, nobody around. And I'm not one to sit and I don't enjoy watching red lights, in other words. So I started going on. Brother Hart comes to me one day, shook that big old German fist in my face. He said, "Boy, you're teaching my wife bad habits." She did all the driving, Miss Hart did. I said, "I ain't teaching your wife no." He said, "Yes, you are." She said she's running that red light down. she said she never would do that before you started. So don't follow me around. I may teach you some bad habits. My time's up this morning. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Good to see y'all.
Good to see you, brother.